2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. You can use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, get yourself 7 free days to check out all the different tools that we got going on, especially in MLB with the VIP lineups page, Bernsey's Analytics Corner, and all sorts of articles to go along with it. If you like the NASCAR game, you like the PGA game, we got that for you too. You can use the Domination Station for that, which creates up to 150 lineups in one shot for you. Takes all the work right out of it. Once again, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, get yourself 7 free days. And after you like us so much, use the promo code PODCAST to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. I am your host, Al Walsh. Twitter is where you can find me at 14a.walsh. Find my wing pilots in the cockpit today, as always, Keith Hall. Find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. Keith, a 15-game slate today. I have no jibba-jabba to talk about before we get into it. Do you?
I don't think so.
I was wondering if you wanted to congratulate somebody on a certain award, but
there's awards?
Well, not in baseball.
Okay. Am I missing something here?
Absolutely. I mean, we only talked about it all NBA season.
I must have missed the news. I kind of tuned everything out last night until until the Slack drama started at about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Okay, so fair enough. You are very diligent in your work. But Russell Westbrook did officially win the NBA MVP last night. So congratulations.
And what was this? What was this?
Well, you know, no, don't even give me that, because you didn't even know about it. So it goes on deaf ears to you. But I will say, though, the NBA did their first award show last night. So it was interesting to see how this all went, and I thought it was all right. I'm a Drake fan, but I didn't think he did such a good job last night. So it'll be interesting to see if they do. I think more sports should do this, though, where they have the award shows instead of, you know, faxing people and letting them know that they won the actual award. It was pretty cool to see all the, you know, just the different speeches and highlight montages. I dug it. You saw two Bucks last night. Malcolm Brogdon won the Rookie of the Year. You had Giannis win Most Improved Player. Dre with the Defensive Player of the Year. And Eric Gordon, who, by the way, I want you to keep this written down somewhere. His nickname this year, it has to be E. Gordy. I don't know why we didn't have that.
Why can't we just call him Gordy?
E. Gordy, you know, for the rapper, E. 40.
Oh. I don't know rappers that well, so.
Come on, man.
Dude, like, when you do this for a living, you are consumed.
I'm aware.
And I'm not consumed by rap.
I've got time to pay a little bit of attention to pop culture. I mean, hell, even if I knew my favorite player won the MVP, I'd know that. But I understand.
Who said he was my favorite player?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. That's all. That is all.
He is not my favorite player. He is the best player on my favorite team.
That is true. Now
he's a top three favorite player.
All year I was going on and on about Harden, but down the stretch it did become evident that this was not even a competition. So congratulations.
It wasn't a competition in November.
Yeah, it was, especially after the Rockets. I know it has nothing to do with the playoffs, but fact that they won in 5 games, that speaks a lot of volumes. So.
It does not.
Does too. It does
speaks
too.
Volumes that.
Look, I'm saying traditionally the NBA MVP is you know, it's typically it comes from the team that has the first, second, or third seeding in a conference. Like traditionally, that's where it comes from, not the seven seed. And I get what Russell Westbrook did, breaking numbers, breaking records left and right and whatnot. I don't want to get into a huge discussion about it, but again,
all I want to hear is three words.
What?
Three words.
I know you're not going to get them. I love you. No, you're not getting them.
No, I just got to hear three words, just three words. And we can move on. We can talk baseball.
Congratulations, Russ Westbrook.
No,
I know what words you want me to say. I'm not saying them.
We know that on June 27th, 2017, that my friend and co-host, Al W. Walsh.
Al R. Walsh.
Who cares?
Right.
Nobody really cares about our middle names. What is your middle name, by the way?
Richard.
Shut up.
Yeah, you too?
Yep.
Wow, look at this. We're just screwed. Finding facts out on the show.
We're screwed. People are going to Google us now.
Yeah.
It's
okay. You don't want my tax information.
You don't want mine either. You're going to pay out more than you want to know. That we know on June 27th, Al Walsh refuses to give credit where credit is due for knowing what was going to happen.
That's fine.
In December and November.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to say I was wrong. Oh, okay. No. Well, no, that was. All right. Well, fine. Yeah.
Well, in a back way, you are saying that you were wrong.
I will never. Again, that's why all my ex relationships don't end well. I refuse. Yeah. Somebody had a good line the other day. They're like, I'm such a nice guy. I won't break up with the girl. I'll make her break up with me. And I was like, you know what? I've definitely done that in the past. But anywho, we are here to talk about the future today. 15 MLB games today. We're going to be breaking this down position by position. I've got an interesting hedge stack that I definitely want to talk about, which we'll get to in a minute. But, as always, we're going to be starting this off with the pitching. And we got Max Scherzer at the top today. Now, I'm interested to hear what you think about this. I think, both sides of this pitching matchup as he goes head-to-head with Jake Arrieta to kick off the night tonight. But the Nationals only -165 favorites in Vegas today. We do have the 7.5 over under, but I feel like that 165 is kind of telling us something here. And Jake Arrieta is coming off his best start of the season. I feel like Arrieta is a better name on paper than he actually is in reality. But what do you make of this matchup tonight?
I don't think Arrieta is a better name on paper because he doesn't bring the strikeout upside that Max Scherzer does.
I don't mean a better name than Scherzer. I think he's a better name on paper than he is in real life.
I can see that, but I don't know what it is with Arrieta. I don't know if it's the stress of a walk year. I don't know what it is, but
big beard.
Well, I mean, come on now. Everybody strives to be like Grizzly Adams. So
sure.
I guess my thing is that, when you're sitting there looking at it, especially on FanDuel, why do I want to go to Jake Arrieta when I can go to Luis Severino, James Paxton, Carlos Martinez for $300 more? I know it's in Arizona, but you still got that. You've got Alex Cobb going against Pitt, James Paxton going against your Phillies. I mean, Sean Manaea going against the Astros, which we'll talk about.
Also Nola night. Don't forget that.
It's a Nola night, but Seattle's
Don't worry. It's not a Nola night for me. I'm just saying. It's a Nola night in general.
You've got Jeff Hoffman going against the Giants. I mean, there's a lot of good options for cheaper. And the problem with that is that, Jake Arrieta, yeah, he's had his best, maybe not fantasy points wise, but just the way that he looked, it was probably his best start of the year outside that, Milwaukee start. It was the deepest he's gone all year. It was the last time. I mean, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, except for that Milwaukee start early in the season, it's probably been the best he's looked in a long time. And I think a lot of it has to do with I don't know. I think a lot of it had to do with that ballpark. It's kind of one of those things that you've got to, you know, really, really, really make sure that you it's a tournament play. And it's like a large field multi-entry tournament play. It is not, by any stretch of imagination, in my opinion, a single entry tournament play, or even a three entry or five entry max.
Oh, hell no. Because,
you know, and don't you can if you compare okay, and this is gonna be a bad comparison, and probably somebody's gonna call me a little homer.
You already prefaced it, folks.
But when you compare the metrics between Arrieta and Butler, they're not even close. But the pitch movement and the pitch selection and the way that Arrieta is going to attack these Washington bats is a lot like what Butler did last night. And that is not something that you have to take lightly. Mm. Now, with that, with that, you have to take into consideration that you would think that Arrieta would be able to execute pitches a lot better. The problem is this year, Arrieta has been leaving a lot of pitches over the middle of the plate. Sure. For whatever reason, I don't know, but he has been. And I just don't see it being I think the Washington hitters are going to make adjustments better than, you know, Arrieta is going to be able to execute the game plan.
Yeah, back to the Vegas line here with the 165. Do you think this is more of an indictment on Scherzer, or do you think the Cubs are going to make life a little harder on him tonight?
This is a tough one too. I think.
And I just want to preface this because I was talking with somebody last night who I was trying to explain the situation to him. But typically, when Scherzer's on the mound, we'll see him at a -200 with the Vegas with the Vegas line there on the money line. So him being below that, and 165 is not just a squeak below 200. It's a little. It's a bit telling to me. So again, is this more on Scherzer or the Cubs' offense?
I think it's a little bit of both, just because the Cubs have the power and we know Scherzer can give up bombs. But I think it's one of those situations where, you can play some one-offs, but you definitely can't stack against them.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, this kind of reminds me, there was a start last season, I don't know if you remember, but Scherzer against the Cardinals. I remember the Cardinals put up, it was one of those sweltering heat days in D.C. Not exactly sure what the temperature is going to be there today, but we have seen this before. I mean, Scherzer is not Strasburg in the heat, but
it is 76 degrees.
Okay, well, that's fine then.
Actually relatively, for being the end of June, it's relatively cool around most of the United States right now. Like, the high here today is only 94, but tomorrow or Friday, it's supposed to be like 77 degrees.
Okay.
And so, and I know nobody plays baseball in Oklahoma, but, it can kind of, we get some of the hottest, most humid heat other than Texas. You can kind of take that to consideration that it might be a little bit of a lower scoring night. Mm-hmm. Because, and maybe not by much, but because of the way that the ball is not going to fly out of the ballpark. So.
Gotcha. All right. So with that, I mean, again, everything that you talked about with Arrieta kind of having a similar I guess a pitch path to Eddie Butler. That makes sense. That kind of, I mean, look, you're not going to be on Arrieta, but it does kind of give some resistance to the win for Scherzer. But again, I think that that could also make him maybe go a little deeper into the game if this is going to be a 0-0 or 1-1 game throughout. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, we saw Scherzer's last start. He went out there because the Nationals bullpen, especially the neutral and positive side of the situation, is absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. So he went out there for the eighth inning. I think he was at 98 pitches already. I mean, yeah, this is Scherzer. He's a horse. He can go deeper into games and stuff like that. But you've got to understand that, I mean, normal situations, normal teams that actually have reliable people in the back end of their bullpen, they're not going to make that decision to throw out their ace in the eighth inning when they've got fresh arms in the bullpen, if they can trust them.
Right. All right, so with other arms that we got out on the mound today, Justin Verlander is facing the Kansas City Royals. And this is interesting because if we look at the BVP numbers, you've got some serious, serious history with Verlander against these guys. They do play in the same division, and a lot of these guys are older than dirt. However, Verlander's held his own pretty much in this matchup. The only guy that gives him any trouble, gives him some serious trouble, that is Salvi Perez, who is hitting .418 with 8 doubles and 2 homers in 55 at-bats there against Verlander. Other than that, you know, you take a look at guys like Alex Gordon, .203. Alcides Escobar, .203. Lorenzo Cain, .250. Brandon Moss, .250. Eric Hosmer, .263. There's a lot of strikeouts with these guys, too. So I understand the matchup is there. Also, a very underrated part of this, Verlander is facing a young lefty of the Royals. Now, we all know that the Tigers have a bunch of righties in their lineup that can certainly bop and bop, for days against left-handed pitching. So there's two prongs to this. One, the win should be very easy for him. And two, we've seen this a lot recently where a pitcher will get that 9-0 lead or something like that, and they won't necessarily throw their best stuff. They're just throwing stuff out over the plate. So, again, with all of this, detriment to Verlander or a big help?
I'm not sure, because Verlander looked like the best pitcher in the freaking universe for the first 5 innings against Seattle his last start, and then everything kind of imploded.
Yeah, one inning.
And say what you want about, you know, do you bunt, you know, in a perfect game or a no-hitter or whatever. It's the sixth inning. I don't have a problem with that. You're trying to win the game still. The game's still undecided. I think it was only 4-0 at the time. Come on, guys, please. Now, if it's the ninth inning, I got a problem with it, especially if the game's, you know, out of reach. But if it's the sixth inning, come on, man.
I don't have a problem in the ninth inning. Like, we're trying to win game. I mean, I get if it's 7-0, okay.
That's
fine.
What I'm saying. If the game's out of hand and you're not within striking distance,
right?
You know, it would take you batting through the lineup in order to even tie the game.
Same page.
But I mean, we're in the sixth inning where we're talking about the sixth inning, and you're still within striking distance where you get the bases loaded and you hit a grand slam, you're good to go.
Oh, show. And we saw what happened. That just unraveled a whole can of worms there. So for tonight, if we're looking at splits against Verlander, it's fine. You got right-handers are hitting .263 against him. Left-handers hitting .234 against him this season. All the power numbers, OBP, a lot of those numbers are the same. But I mean, you know, the Royals can certainly bring a lot of lefties to the table. I mean, it seems like managers these days don't even look at these numbers. They're, whoever we put out there is a fantastic option. But, I mean, I'm going to take a look at some of these BVP numbers. I think that they are pretty important here. Our boy David Alvarez in his free square today had Verlander there as his pitcher. He thought it was pretty important. So, I mean, I like Verlander. I think he's a nice option here to come down off of Scherzer. He'll save you $2,700 on FanDuel tonight. But I do worry about him having such a monstrous lead that he doesn't have to throw his A stuff tonight.
Well, I don't care if he has to throw his A stuff or not. If he goes 7-8 innings, he gets a quality start in the win, at least on FanDuel. You know, yeah, because he's going to get strikeouts. I mean, he's still – a guy that can pump it up there at 90, you know, 95, 97 miles an hour, he's going to get strikeouts at some point throughout the game. So if he gets 5, 6, 7, you know, you're kind of, you know, happy about that. The problem I have is if this game is close, this Detroit bullpen's not any better than this Washington bullpen. I mean, we've seen, and this is one of the reasons why I hate the fact that the win is in, in question in fantasy sports, is the win, once the pitcher leaves, he has no control. He has zero control over it. So why is that going to – why should that decide a tournament for me? You know? I mean, at least in hockey, when the goalie gets the win, he has control. You know, he's out there the whole game.
And again, I think FanDuel did a pretty good job this season of not placing emphasis as they did in the past.
I'm not saying that they didn't.
I would actually like a 6-6 split, you know, for the quality start, and then
let's just take the win out.
I think give it a little sum.
No.
Yeah.
At least the quality start, the pitcher has the control.
How about, can we compromise and maybe go 6 for no earned runs allowed at all during a start? Because that's kind of like the shutout in hockey.
No, well, I mean, if you want to give him a shutout bonus or a complete game shutout bonus, then that's fine too. But
or an innings-based shutout point. All right, well, we are not the creators of the game. We're getting a little off topic, but you do. All right, so in all, you do like Verlander tonight against the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be one of those options. If we look at it right now, based on the numbers and everything, he is. Where is he? I don't even see him on this freaking sheet. Oh, he's actually towards the bottom as far as DFS A grade is concerned.
Right, right.
But our projections have him towards the top. So it's kind of a, you know, which one is more telling. It's hard to decide.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another, I guess, the tier two of pitchers tonight, because we've got Carlos Martinez, who is in Arizona. I am not a fan of that, but we'll get there in a minute. So Carlos Martinez, Luis Severino is in Chicago to take on the White Sox, James Paxton against the Phillies. Jose Quintana has actually been very good in the month of June. He's taking on a Yankees team tonight that will probably be without Starling Castro now, in addition to all the other injuries that this Yankees team has had. So, you know, Quintana faced with the fact that, you know, these Yankees just are not the same team right now. In that tier of the Carlos Martinez, Luis Severino, James Paxton, Jose Quintana, I was gonna throw it to you on this, but I mean, look, you got to look here about, you know, Carlos Martinez. He has been outstanding this season in terms of going deep into games and, you know, just actually, you know, pitching very efficiently and very well. But you look at him away from Busch Stadium this season, he is 2-5 with a 4.29 ERA. You know, some of his worst work has been there. Again, he's going to be taking on a D-backs team, which we know can just get downright nasty with the sticks at home. The Phillies did hold them down a couple of those days, but again, I think that they'll be fine tonight. All in all, though, I'm not looking for a huge night for Martinez. That's not exactly where I need to be going. I love that matchup between Severino and Jose Quintana. I think both of them are just going to duke it out tonight. You know, both sides are going to, you know, have that, you know, positive splits matchup. We all know the righties against the White Sox. What that does, that's fine. Severino, he produced, I believe, 10 or 11 strikeouts against the Diamondbacks earlier this season. He did allow 3 runs, but if you remember, 2 of those came in after a double play ball got booted, and he ended up giving up 2 earned runs later that inning, so keep that in mind. But again, I know you're a Quintana fan, and he's been doing very well late.
He has been. I've actually kind of liked him. He's been doing better than my other, you know, Mexican dream boat and Carlos Carrasco, who looked absolutely completely horrible last night.
See, what happened was.
See, what happened was is the hitters, they came to the plate and they had these sticks in their hand and they swung them really hard and hit everything I threw. My gosh. Anyways, yeah, this feels like a game that I really like Severino, but I really, really, really like Jose Quintana. The numbers are comparable over the last 30 days for both of these teams facing the handedness of pitching. And one of the bad things about it is that kind of seems like it's a little false on the Yankees side. Just because they've got so many right-handed power bats that they can, you know, obviously, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark. I'm more apt to go probably towards Severino just because I think he's got a little bit more leeway. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind Jose Quintana in tournaments.
Yeah. I mean, I dig it. Of course, on a 15-game slate, you might not have to go that route. But again, if you are, you know, you're multi-entering, you're going to have plenty of options to do a lot of different things. I think that's where Quintana comes into play more so for me. James Paxton against the Phillies. I mean, look, the Phillies put up two runs or fewer in the last 3 days in Arizona. That's pathetic. We know that they are just absolutely terrible on offense. There's really not much going on there. I mean, their best hitter against left-handed pitching is Howie Kendrick. And, you know, I'm sure he should be in the lineup today since they're going to have the DH. But Aaron Altair can hit for some pop. We all know Seattle's not exactly the park to go to for pop. But Paxton hasn't looked that great lately over his last four or five
since
starts.
He came off the DL.
He had that one good start against your boys in against Colorado at home. But, yeah, you're right. Ever since that start, things just have not gone that well. So, you think he gets it on track tonight against the Phils?
No.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, he didn't do bad last game. I mean, he got into the sixth, only allowing three runs, eight strikeouts. The problem was is his pitch count was up. He worked really, really deep into a lot of counts and then gave up a hit. So that was a big, big thing. It's just kind of one of those situations where I don't know if he's completely healthy, but with the way that the Mariners are just so beat up in the rotation that it's not something that, you can really, really, really kind of count on, especially on FanDuel, $8,500. I mean, I can go to Jose Quintana for the same price. I can go down to, you know, Mike Fiers against Oakland for 200 less. Sean Manaea.
Don't give away the value.
I'm giving options. You know, you could go to Taiwan Walker against St. Louis. You could go to Yolis Chacin against Atlanta. I mean, there's a lot of different options. Or you can go up. I mean, Luis Severino is only $700 more. So. Yeah.
It's a great point. It's a great point. Now, let's get to some of the, I guess we can call them tier three. I like a lot of these guys tonight down here. And I think one in particular, whom you know very well, could actually match Scherzer tonight for points on FanDuel tonight. I am talking about your boy Jeff Hoffman going up against the San Francisco Giants. A lot of people down on Hoffman in the industry. You're not finding a lot of love for Hoffman, but we've seen this guy post some massive games before, and especially on the road, where today he's going into the best pitcher's park against San Francisco. Yeah, San Francisco got off the schneid last night, but that's even more the reason to go back to Jeffy in this one. If we're looking at Hoffman, 3-0 on the road this season with the 1.33 ERA. Okay. And then looking at it here, too, he's got the 0.70 whip there in three starts. He's got 24 strikeouts there in 20 and a third of an inning. when we look at that last start against the Diamondbacks, it was kind of interesting. I know on the nine hits that he gave up, most of those were ground balls. They weren't even like homers or even really doubles for that matter. You know, we get a little better defensive positioning out of your boys tonight. That'd be fantastic. But I think, you know, with Hoffman's strikeout upside and all the factors here, the ballpark and everything going on for him, again, I, you know, if all goes right, I think he could match Scherzer tonight for points.
Yeah, that, a lot of has to go right to be able to match Scherzer.
Of course.
But I think he does have tremendous upside due to his ability to get the strikeout. Even though this Giants team doesn't strike out a lot, there's, you know, a lot of turnover here.
They've had their days. I mean, DeGrom just had, what, 8 against them on Saturday. I would gladly take that from Hoffman.
Yeah. So I think it's just one of those situations where you've got to kind of pay attention to. I like it. I really do. You know, I know Germán Márquez didn't pan out, but Márquez, he couldn't finish off hitters last night. You know, he Denard Span did a great job in the first inning, just kind of getting him out of his comfort zone, because Márquez is a guy that likes to work fast, and Span stepped out 3 times in the first inning. Like, it was unbelievable. And it's not something that it's not something that, you know, this rookie was able to kind of pay attention to. So I do like it, but, you know, he's not coming anywhere near a cash game lineup for me.
For sure. The other option that I really like tonight, I guess you can kind of, I mean, obviously I'd rather go with Mike Fiers. That's the one guy I'm talking about here, going up against the A's tonight. The Astros are -170 favorites here. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Sean Manaea actually has fantastic numbers against the Houston Astros. And in 124 plate appearances, he's only allowed 2 extra base hits to this current roster of the Astros. That part is incredible. But, I mean, the fact that, I mean, look, obviously Vegas has these numbers. The fact that they have Fiers, who is by no means an ace in MLB terms, you know, the fact that they have him as such a high favorite in this one, to me, that speaks a lot of volumes. I don't think that that means that the Astros offense is going to go bananas on the A's. We know that go bananas on Manaea, but we know that the A's have a tremendous strikeout rate. This could end up being a huge night for Fiers.
Yeah, it could be. Of course, I've thought that the last 3 starts as well. it just seems like he's getting good matchups after good matchups, and he's just not, like, the Angels was a great matchup, but we've talked about it. This guy, he's pitching deeper into ball games since the end of May. The month of June was a fantastic month for him.
Hey, it's not over yet.
I agree. You know, 4 wins in 4 out of his 5 starts. The one where he didn't get a win, I believe he was going up against Sale, and he left in a tie ball game. It was 1-1. He pitched 7 innings in that one. You know, he still got the quality start, but he didn't get a lot of strikeouts, so that's why his point total was down a little bit. I mean, I really do like it. His last start against Oakland, 5 strikeouts, 1 earned run, quality start, win, only 3 walks, 3 hits, and 6 innings. It's a place where I'm probably going to go to a lot. But I'm not sure that he's my favorite pitcher even in that game.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, and, you know, I brought up the numbers there with the Astros against Manaea. I think the only guy that really has any success is, who is that, Gattis, I believe?
Yeah. I'm looking here as KD throws a fit. I don't have Evan Gattis even on the BVP.
4 for 15 with a double, homer, 4 strikeouts.
I do have Yonder Alonso, who's 10 for 10 or 5 for 10. Wait, sorry, that's Mike Fiers. Duh. It kind of helps to look at the right information.
You would think.
Yeah, I've got 3 for 12 with a home run and 4 strikeouts.
Okay.
I mean, really, George Springer's been better. But other than that, like you said, there's only been one extra base hit.
Two.
I'm just going by what I have.
There's one. It's a double. There's a double and a homer that he's allowed in 124 plate appearances. That's insane. But
is that guy currently on the Astros?
Yeah, it is. I looked.
Okay.
You take a look at some of these numbers here. So George Springer, 3 for 14, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Jose Altuve, 1 for 14 with the walk and 2 strikeouts. Carlos Correa, 2 for 13 with 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. I mean, these numbers are ridiculous. Who else? Jake Mariznick, 1 for 9, 5 strikeouts. Carlos Beltran, 1 for 8, 4 strikeouts. So everything is adding up here. I will say, though, for Sean Manaea, he has done, the work that he's done lately, it's gone well, right? And we know that the Houston Astros, they have a low strikeout rate, like, across the board everywhere. Don't look at those numbers. I mean, it's very hard to look away from that. But again, I feel like with Vegas tonight saying that Houston there in that -170 role, I feel like that's too much. And I know that they have the same exact numbers that we do going into this. So I can't help but think too much about that and feel like, okay, it could go well for Manaea, but I think from a fantasy point perspective, this is just going to go a lot better for Flyers.
Yeah, the question is run support, and that's why I kind of like, both pitchers out of this. And if you're sitting there on DK, I mean, to be honest, you could probably pair these guys up and you feel pretty good about it. You've got, let's see here, Mike Fiers is 76, which is more expensive than Jake Arrieta, and then Sean Manaea is 62. So you go 76 and 62, that leaves you 45 per position. That's a pretty sexy lineup when you start to think about it.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Now, your bats would have to go off because I don't think that these guys offer the kind of upside that, pairing one of them with a Max Scherzer or Carlos Martinez or Luis Severino can offer you. But with that said, if you get the bats to go bananas, then you could be in a very, very, very unique situation. So
indeed. And I will say too, I was talking with Jay Blaze, our boy, last night, trying to explain, a lot of how these Vegas lines are working. And, I feel like we are seeing this explosion of offense in the MLB, but 9 is kind of like the new 8 when we look at over-under totals. I mean, I feel like Vegas is just slapping a 9 on pretty much every game because they have no idea what the hell to do. I don't think we're going to see anywhere near 9 runs in this A's-Astros game, but I think it also lends more credence to a game like the Yankees-White Sox tonight where they have a total of 8. I feel like 8 is the new 7. So I think that bodes well for both Severino and Quintana as well.
And that's why we talk about, if your pitcher, gets a quality start, allows 2-3 runs, then that's a good start. So if your guy allows 2 runs in the first inning, yeah, it's not a good feeling to be sitting there.
Oh, it sucks.
Looking at 2 earned runs in the first inning.
It's like betting the under on an NBA game.
And it starts to go off in the first half. But you're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
A couple strikeouts and you're good to go. I mean, come on. Carlos Carrasco allowed 8 earned runs last night. He still finished in the positive.
Yeah.
Now it was only 0.1 on DraftKings, but he still finished in the positive. That's a.
We didn't say how much. Well, he did say how much, but before that. So I think we've all got some good pitchers here to look at on this 15-game slate. We got plenty of options tonight. So, again, it's not if you don't play with a heavy bankroll, tonight's a great idea to possibly go into one of those deep, like a single-entry tournament, like the $1 or the $2. And this is really where you can kind of, you know, make some waves if you, you know, go with maybe like a Hoffman or a Fires or something like that. So something like that, taking a chance on a 15-game slate, this is where you could probably see some of your hard work pay off tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's talk about some stacks in this one. Now, I got so many good stacks tonight that I had to categorize them into three different ones today. I got game stacks, I got team stacks, and I got hedge stacks. So let's start with – let's go with the game stack first. This one's pretty interesting to me with the Minnesota Twins at the Boston Red Sox. So we do have a – I believe, what, a 10 or a 10.5 total on this one. Whatever, we're going to see a bunch of runs in this one. Here's the interesting thing, though. We've got two lefties going on the mound, but both of these lefties, they suck against lefty bats. So Hector Santiago this season, a lefty himself, he's allowing a .500 batting average to left-handed bats this season. And then you got Drew Pomeranz, a left-handed pitcher himself, allowing a .357 batting average to left-handed batters this season. Now, the numbers against right-handers, they are, you know, much better. You can't get much worse than those numbers right there. But I'm just saying, if the lefties can hit that well, I'm sure the righties on both sides aren't going to have much problem either.
No, I don't think they are either. The problem is I'm more apt to look at what the bullpens are and the bullpen usage in this game. And the reason for that is there could, we have to watch the weather. There could be a delay. And if there's a delay... If it's during the game, if this game starts on time, I think there's going to be a delay in the middle of it. But if it doesn't, then we could be looking at kind of a different it could be a little bit different. The bullpen for the Red Sox is, besides Craig Kimbrel, is not great. They're not bad, but they're not great. But they're pretty well rested. And the bullpen for the Minnesota Twins, they're well rested, but they're just bad. you know, yeah, they're just bad. Besides Kinsler, Kinsler is actually pretty decent. He's a middle of the road average guy. When I think of Kinsler, I think of more like a setup man, but not a closer. But he's actually done pretty well in the closer role this year. If this becomes a bullpen game, then
huge advantage to the Red Sox.
Well, I don't want to say huge advantage to the Red Sox, but I have a lot more interest in the bats.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah, which then would be a huge advantage to the Red Sox. But it's something that we were going to have to watch for.
All right. I did not even take weather into account today, so. But if you would like to take weather into account, make sure you follow our guy, Mark Paquette, at DFS MLB Weather there on Twitter. Lots of great stuff.
Yes, as opposed to the other Twitter
handle. Yes, I had to go and check and make sure which one was which. Oh, man, there's some scumbags out there, Keith.
No kidding.
Like all-star scumbags out there in the world.
They would get my vote.
Hall of Fame scumbag. So I thought that's probably a good game stack to go to. But again, definitely make sure to watch out for that weather. I didn't even take that into account. But hey, the numbers add up. Who do you like with some game stacks tonight? Or are we just going straight to teams here?
I actually really kind of do like this Cleveland, Texas stack again.
All right. You don't think their arms are tired from last night?
Well, yeah, that's the reason exactly why I would go back to it. let's see here. Let's look at some of these guys. Texas, they had four guys throw last night. Alvarez threw 16 pitches, Claiborne 34, Claudio 18, Shepherds 12. The Texas bullpen is not good. The only name that you're probably going to recognize in there is Matt Bush. The Cleveland bullpen, however, is a little bit better. Andrew Miller did not pitch last night. Zach McAllister did not pitch last night. Everybody else did. That includes Cody Allen, who threw 16. Goody threw 25. Boone Logan threw 7. Otero threw 32. And Brian Shaw threw 16. I would say probably Otero and Goody on the Cleveland side are probably... highly unlikely to be used again. because they also threw a little bit more. So Frank Kona is probably going to want to stay away from him. And for the Texas bullpen, they're each – I would say Claiborne's probably out, but everybody's available. But as we know, that doesn't mean anything because they knocked them around last night.
When you were talking about tired arm, I was saying the offense, like swinging the bat so much. But we're on the same page now.
I don't think that the managers are going to have quite as quick of a hook, which could be beneficial. I think they're going to leave their guys in a little bit longer to take a beating, because this is the second game of a 4-game set, and they don't want to burn through their bullpen. Cole Hamels, it was a little bit different of a situation because he was his first start coming off the DL.
Oh, God. My boy. My former World Series MVP.
It's his first start coming off the DL after oblique strain. Come on.
Hey, Cole doesn't make mistakes, damn it.
He made a lot last night. Not as many as Carlos Carrasco.
Way to slide that in, Keith.
He left it open, so I took it. So I think these guys are actually going to probably have to go a little bit and wear it on the chin a little bit, which is good for offense. This is my game stack. If I'm game stacking, and I don't game stack a lot, but this is where I'm going to game stack. The other one is Milwaukee and Cincy.
I like it.
And, I mean... Yeah, how can you not?
Yeah.
Now, I know Cincy didn't do well yesterday against Waka. That was a weird situation. It was a makeup game. It was a one-game series. They were basically there. They after playing on Sunday, they got into St. Louis, and were playing a mid-afternoon game, a weird start time, and then leaving. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, all right, let's just get out of here and go. So I really like this game stack as well. And Ryan Braun, I think, is coming back off the DL today.
I believe so. I shouldn't say terrible, but 1-for-8, I believe, with 3 strikeouts against Adelman. So with him coming back. Now, I want to talk about a hedge stack here. I only have one on my list, but I think it's incredibly interesting. So Baltimore-Toronto is where I'm looking here. Now, Kevin Gausman going for the Orioles in this one. He's got awful, god-awful splits against right-handers this season. He's allowed 9 homers, an opposing batting average to right-hander. Opposing batting average. This isn't somebody slugging, but opposing batting average of .371 to right-handed hitters this season. .989 OPS, the slugging's there at .571 there. Now, he's got some pretty decent BVP numbers here against a lot of these Blue Jays hitters. Nothing too great. Nothing that's like overwhelmingly good or bad. But I will say for Gausman, he does have 17 strikeouts here in his last 2 starts. And I'm sorry, 16 over his last 2 starts. And that's over 10 1/3 of an inning. Gausman is 1-0 against the Blue Jays this season with a 2.60 ERA. That part's interesting.
How many starts is that?
3 starts against them this season. But the part that I'm interested in is Gausman's last game where he had 9 strikeouts. That was against the Cleveland Indians. So, nobody does that against the Indians. So I was trying to figure out if anything like new has been going on with Gausman. I haven't heard about it, but I think this is probably the perfect hedge stack of the day that I could find, because number one, we have seen the Blue Jays just fall right off the side of a cliff many a times before, especially in Toronto when we know that there's poise for a huge night. And then the other side of things, I mean, I already put out the splits there against Gausman, but I could see this one going either way.
I don't think it's a hedge stack for me because there's no way, there's no chance in hell I'm playing Kevin Gausman. There's no chance I'm playing Joe Biagini either. Not against a team that against, right-handed pitching, has got a 194 ISO with a 335 WOBA right now. And that's in the last 30 days. I mean, they're not towards the top of the list, but they're not bad. They've got some of the better power numbers. I am not playing either one of these pitchers. So for me, it's not a hedge stack. They're just stacks. Both offenses are just stackable to me. But I can see where you're going with this, and I see the reasoning. I just like too many other people above Kevin Gausman for it to be a hedge stack for me.
Sure. And again, you know, the point I'm trying to make here, you know, 6,500 on FanDuel, great. I mean, you know, his last start there, that one against the Indians, he did have 35 FanDuel points. I mean, you take a look at some of his other ones of recently, the 23, the minus 11 is the one I want to push off a cliff with the Blue Jays. You know, 23, 28, 24, 31, a 4. Did have 49 against the Nationals at home back in early May. So, again, I've seen the Blue Jays just screw up things way too many times. And, again, with Gausman having, you know, 16 strikeouts in his last 10 in the third of an inning, I think that definitely offers up some upside. But, again, I know it's not for everybody, and this is more of a, you know, multi-entry sort of thing, but it's on the table.
Yeah, like I said, it's I can see the reasoning behind it. Just for me, it's not an option. So,
gotcha. Fair enough.
I can see what you're saying. So,
all right. Let us break it down position by position.
Whoa,
right
whoa,
now.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Are you missing something?
With hedge stacks?
With real stacks.
Real stacks.
Because okay, there's gotcha, a stack.
Right. Okay. All right. Abort. Team stacks.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, number one for me, I think it's got to be the Miami Marlins today. I understand that we got some other ones. I'm sure we'll get to them, but if you take a look at the numbers here against Robert Gazelman here from the Miami Marlins, number one, Marcelo Zuna, 4-for-8 with 3 homers and only 1 strikeout. Giancarlo Stanton, 5-for-7 against Gazelman with a homer, a walk, and 2 strikeouts. The splits here against Gazelman are what are especially sexy. Right-handers hitting .322 off him this year. A lot of the power numbers are the same from with righties and lefties against Gazelman. But I've talked about righties against Gazelman on end for a while now. And, you know, everything is just holding up to be the same. Gazelman has allowed a touchdown in each of his last 2 starts. So keep that in mind. He's not exactly on a great path right now. He's allowed 6 homers over his last 9.1 innings. Also has an ERA of 7.71 on the road this season. So, Gazelman, hopefully, like the rest of his Mets teammate, I know they swept in San Francisco over the weekend, but hopefully they continue on their shitty path because they are Mets and I will hate them for life.
There you go.
Yes.
I only like the mini stack in that one. Okay. Maybe with the 3-man if you add Justin Bour in there, but it's Ozuna and Stanton.
Yeah, I was going to say even maybe a JT Realmuto, which we'll talk about in the next segment, but sure.
I mean, yeah. You could. I'd be more apt. I don't know if I want to go just because it's more because of the ballpark rather than, you know, anything else. I don't know if I want to go a full 4-man.
I've talked about this at length too before, but I don't mind right-handed hitters at Marlins Park. I don't mind them.
But what I'm saying is
it's not, you know, I don't think there's really much of a detriment at all, especially for guy like Stanton and Ozuna, but yeah, right field in Marlins Park is one of the deepest in the majors, so you know, not a fan of that.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't mind that at all either. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is now with the return of Martin Prado, that slides JT Realmuto down to the 7 hole, and
I'm sorry, I'm glad you brought up Martin Prado. You can finish your thought, but I have a fantastic story about him.
You know, it kind of makes it to where I don't want full exposure to this. I want the guys that I feel can put the ball out of the ballpark. And that's why I mentioned, you know, Ozuna, Bour, and Stanton. Now, totally. Anybody can put the ball out of the ballpark. We know that. That's not what I mean. But what I'm exactly. But the issue is that I'm going to take the guys that I think can. Not only that, but these guys are now split up or are split up with Christian Yelich batting third. Right. So if Stanton does hit a home run, then Yelich can get on and Ozuna can get a home run as well. They're not having to go back to back. Right. And one of you guys getting a solo shot, they can both theoretically hit two-run home runs, and or I can back it up with Boer, who can hit a three-run home run.
That would be a dream.
So, you know, it's with power hitters, I don't like taking the three and the four hitter unless the three hole is a high on base guy.
Sure.
Because, you know, if the three hole hits a home run, then there's nobody on base for your four hole hitter. Now, that's going to happen from time to time, but it doesn't need to happen all the time. And with the way that Stanton's swinging the bat in the two-hole, we've talked about it. It's just – it's unbelievable. It's like he's learned how to hit again. Yeah. I mean, and his swing still looks bad, but at least he's hitting the ball.
Yeah, and again, I think this is something that we've seen with a lot of teams, you know, and – or a lot of players. Wilson Contreras did it last night, moving up to the leadoff spot.
That's just Joe Maddon trying to be a mad scientist.
With, you know, the guy on the same team with Anthony Rizzo, and then Matt Carpenter, you know, had his little tear going up to the leadoff spot. So, yeah.
Well, that's always been Matt Carpenter, though.
Well, let me go on my thing here, but, you know, don't ruin me. But, yeah, I mean, that's just a trend. I feel like a lot of these guys getting moved up in the order, I think, worrying more about contact with their swing and hitting line drives rather than, you know, trying to be the big bopper in the lineup and crush homers. I think it just temporarily it fixes their swing and then, you know, helps them out over the long run.
I don't know, but I mean, if I'm a,
hey, I'm
if
a swing
I'm a pitcher,
analyst. Didn't you not know now?
If I'm a pitcher, there's no way I'm throwing Wilson Contreras a get me over fastball first pitch of the game. Huh? Like that just doesn't make sense to me. I know what the purpose of it is. Why am I going to do it? You know,
yeah.
I'd rather throw a get me over curveball. At least then he's got the ability to roll over it. It doesn't make any sense to me, but you know, that's me. That's whatever.
That is you, Keith. That is you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that you've got to look for. It provides a good opportunity for you to get more bats, but I don't think, like with Giancarlo Stanton, this isn't like a, you know, a temporary thing. Unless one of these guys goes down, this is a thing that, you know, I think it's going to hold serve for the rest of the year because he's producing now. Right. He's got a little bit of protection behind him, not like he didn't before with Ozuna hitting behind him, but now, I mean, is it safe to say that people are actually more scared of Christian Yelich than they are Marcelo Ozuna at times? Because he's getting more fastballs. He's not getting as many breaking balls.
Right.
So that would lead me to believe that that's the reason why. Or is it the fact that, you know, when D. Gordon gets on base, instead of allowing a guy to get into scoring position with a stolen base, I'm now going to start throwing, even though I know what I have at the plate, I now have Giancarlo Stanton sitting there waiting for D. Gordon to steal. And if I'm going to be a pitcher and not allow D. Gordon to steal, I have to do what I have to do. And that means to be quicker to the plate, which allows me to have more fastballs, which allows Giancarlo Stanton to hit the ball hard. I mean, besides Aaron Judge, this guy's got the highest exit velocity on the season, and it's not even close. Like, it's just a lot of these analytical guys, they go, there's no such thing as protection. Bull crap. Get off of my lawn. There is such a thing as protection, and it can come in the form of, you know, in front of you or behind you. So in front of you, it has to work with a base stealer like a D. Gordon. Behind you, it has to work with a guy that can put the ball out of the ballpark and change the complexity of a game with one swing. That's what Christian Yelich, Marcelo Ozuna can do, and D. Gordon in front of him can do.
Fair enough. So, all right, since we're talking about the Marlins, it is story time, as I wanted to put out there. It's just going to be a quick one, but so I guess Martin Prado had it was supposed to be like Martin Prado jersey giveaway the other day for the Marlins. trying to remember. I don't know exactly when this was, but they, you know, it was supposed to have something to do with his home country of Venezuela on it, but they opened up the boxes and they didn't even have the right flag on it. Like, it wasn't the Venezuelan flag. It was just some other flag. So Martin Prado Jersey Day was canceled. They had to put everything back in the boxes and nobody got a jersey.
That's kind of like when the Rockies had Troy Tulowitzki jersey giveaway day and they misspelled Tulowitzki, but they didn't they didn't remember until after, or they didn't realize it until after they gave them all away.
That's hysterical. But with the Marlins, I mean, that is just so Marlins. That is just, that's how they roll. Yep. Any other team stacks looking at here today?
Matt Cain's on the mound.
Matt Cain is on the mound. He we saw this in the Colorado Rockies.
I do believe we saw this last year in the same situation, around the same time of the year. Matt Cain was on the mound, and the Rockies scored, I believe, 13 runs in an inning.
They did.
I believe I was the only one to have them stacked that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back to it again. I know they didn't hit Samardzija like they were supposed to, and blah 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 blah. But I have no problems going back to it.
All right, fair enough. Also, Detroit Tigers going up against left-hander Matt Strom today of the Kansas City Royals. Yeah, you'll hear some of these stats coming up from some of these players, but a lot of the righties from Detroit going to be a fantastic one, including a particular outfielder, which we all know well or too damn well about. So those are all good here. Also want to mention here today, I forgot to mention him with the pitchers, but, you know, just go back in your mind here for a second. But Sean Newcomb is incredibly cheap there on DraftKings tonight. He's going up against the Padres. I meant to have that in my notes. I had it in my notes. I meant to put it out there, but I completely forgot. So think good about job. That. Yeah, he'll be incredibly popular on DK, but he is very cheap over there. I just wanted to mention that. All right, let's talk about some catchers today. For me, I'll lead it off, Salvi Perez got that amazing BVP against Verlander. I have a feeling people are going to be going against Verlander, or I'm going with Verlander today as their pitcher of choice. So, you know, in that regard, I got to have him as my top catcher today.
Yeah, I think he's kind of up there on my list as well. It's the ownage that Salvi has over Mrs. Upton is unbelievable. Oh. So that's kind of one of those things that you've got to pay attention to. I actually really, really, really like Russell Martin tonight.
Okay.
Over the last 30 days, or last 14 days against right-handed pitching, he's got a 398 wOBA, 217 ISO, with a 672 OBI. So it's one of the better ones of the slate, but it is very, very interesting, especially if he's in that two-hole in front of Donaldson, Bautista, Tulowitzki, Justin Smoke, guys like that. I think I love the Toronto stack, but it has to include Russell Martin, especially on FanDuel where he's only 2,800.
All right. Couple interesting ones there. I mentioned JT Realmuto going up against Gazelman. The splits that right-handed bats have against Gazelman is fantastic. 322, if you forgot from a couple minutes ago. I like him a lot. Let's not forget also that Wilson Ramos is back in our life. He is fresh off the DL. He played Saturday, I believe, for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's there as well. Don't love the ballpark that he's in today at PNC, but he is 2,400. And for a guy that can hit the ball out of Yosemite, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, and he's probably with it being him being a former National League guy, he's probably got some history here. So
you're not up against Trevor Williams. Not one single Ray has faced Trevor Williams, but
wow, that's surprising.
But yeah, still, again, I'm a huge Rama. Like, I played him a lot when he was with the Nationals, and the good thing about him today, I guess it, you know, it probably works well for him too, but he does have good oppo field power. It'd be interesting to see if he's even in the lineup. I know, I believe, didn't the Rays get rid of Norris, or they optioned him to the minors, or they released him?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe they did.
I don't know why you would. He's been tearing the cover off the ball the last 30 days. Because
they got Ramos back and...
Sacre?
Let's see. Designated for assignment on Saturday to clear space for Wilson Ramos. So, you know.
The numbers weren't overall for the season great, but you know, for the last 30 days, you know, they were actually holding serve. So,
another guy, I believe he was in Donut's article today with value hitters, Bruce Maxwell for the A's. I know he's going up against Mike Fiers, who we both like a lot today, but again, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to like Fiers today. Maxwell, a guy that's not known at all here in the DFS circuit, but guy that does have some pretty good power, could be an interesting option today against the Astros.
Those rookies for Oakland are going to be very, very interesting, and I think that's where we can get a lot of value from upcoming. They're all cheap and they're all worth, they can all just absolutely crush the ball. I've watched a lot of them come up through Tulsa, because the Oakland A's Double A affiliate is in the Texas League, and I mean, some of these guys are just like absolutely studs. Freeze, I mean, easy swings with a lot of power, as we would say from our Moneyball days. They've got a lot of confidence.
you know, you see them around the town. All right, nice.
So yeah, it's they're definitely a place where we can get a lot of value, and Bruce Maxwell's right there with them.
I know the A's have, like, if it's not the top prospect in baseball, he's right up there.
Yoan Moncada is the top prospect in baseball.
The one in the A's system. Shit, man. I can't think of his name right now. It's Chapman, right? I know he's on the DL. Is it Chapman? They have one of their guys in particular is supposed to be like a poor man. Not even a homeless man's Mike Trout, but a poor man's. He's supposed to be very good. I believe it's Chapman, but we'll see. I'll get back to you on that one. Let us any
Franklin Burrito.
Is that the one?
Yep. So here was the top four or top 10 list that was released, you know, at the end of last year. It was Burrito, Chapman, Cotton, Pinder, Gossett, and Maxwell were all on there. So they've got one.
It was Chapman that I was thinking about.
Okay. So they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of their top 10 up in the big leagues right now.
Nice. Good for them. Good to say that, you know, they ain't going anywhere this year. So let the guys get some experience under their belt. Any other catchers before we move into first base?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, we mentioned Mike Zunino has been crushing the ball lately. He's got a 448 ISO versus right-handed pitching right now. So he's still under 3,000 on FanDuel as well. Can you tell where I'm kind of going? I mean, Wilson Contreras, 2,200, if he's at the top of that leadoff spot versus Max Scherzer. If you're fading Scherzer in a lineup, then, I mean, you could, in a GPP, you could take your shot there. If you know that there's got to be a little side bet going on right now in that Cubs clubhouse, wondering if he can beat Anthony Rizzo's record. So,
yeah. I did hear Rizzo is going back to the leadoff spot tonight.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't trust anything Joe Madden does anymore.
I thought it was in the game notes on MLB.com. I do like both catchers in the Freeway Series there in LA. The Dodgers and the Angels, Yasmani Grandal, Martin Maldonado, both guys have 3 homers over the last 7 games. Grandal 3 over the last 5 games, Maldonado 3 over the last 7 there as well. Both guys hitting 333 over the last 7 days as well. So give them both a look for homer upside.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, let's talk about first baseman.
Tyler Austin.
Tyler Austin, you love him. He is going up against the lefty. Yeah,
I've been touting this guy for, 3 weeks now?
I believe so.
And now he's just catching on board? I mean, come on, guys.
He did just get up to the majors not too long ago.
I understand that. But I was talking about him before then, saying when Greg Bird went back on the DL.
He did. He homered last night, damn near minimum price.
He was on the
FD Optimal lineup last night too.
Yep, 2,200. I mean, guys, he's got the same amount of power as Cody Bellinger. I'm just letting you know.
Do you worry about him going up against the hot pitcher in Quintana though?
No, because whenever you're talking about rookie hitters facing pitchers they haven't faced, especially right after they get called up to the big leagues. I always give the benefit to the hitter because the pitcher, they rely so much on scouting reports and hot zones and stuff like that. There is none because you can't apply because the pitching's so bad in the minor leagues. That's why they're in the minor leagues. You can't apply that.
reasoning,
newsflash, right? Overall, I'm not saying like every pitcher, I'm saying overall. It's very, very difficult for you to take a hot zone and from the minor leagues and apply it to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. And for the first go around until people start finding their holes in the swing, then, you know, let me put it this way. I'd much rather play Tyler Austin right now than Cody Bellinger. And it's strictly due to an ownership percentage.
Well, I if you're going to go that route, I think Austin's going to be pretty popular tonight, especially, you know, probably going to be batting fourth again in that Yankees lineup.
I don't think he's going up against Quintana, though.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think so. At minimum price going up against the lefty?
I don't think it matters. I think the name cachet of Quintana is going to hold off that ownership. Now, I will keep an eye on it, and I will, you know, rebut that statement as soon as I hear, but I haven't heard a lot of buzz about Tyler Austin yet.
I think especially too, he'll be like hand in hand with Max Scherzer tonight. I think all the guys that are going with Scherzer will absolutely have Tyler Austin in their lineup. So you can kind of tie the two together there with, you know, if you see Scherzer getting a lot of pep talk tonight, you can bet Tyler Austin will be right there beside him.
Okay.
All right. I don't mind either Red Sox first baseman here. Mitch Moreland, Hanley Ramirez. I mean, obviously Moreland's the much hotter hitter here, but, you know, Hanley Ramirez, 3,100. He's still 3,100 on FanDuel. You know, he still garners some respect with the way he can hit the ball. Again, going to have to wait and see, you know, what happens with the weather and whatnot. Going up against the lefty or the Twins bullpen, that's still pretty good for Hanley Ramirez. But again, remember too, I said, you know, left-handers are hitting 500 against Hector Santiago, and you know, Mitch Moreland's actually hitting lefties pretty well this season too. So I like either one in this spot.
I can see that. You want me to add into this here?
I thumbs up something.
I said I can see it. I said okay. I can see it. I'm going to Mark Reynolds.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about a 320 average, two home runs, four doubles against Matt Cain. And we're talking about a low ownership percentage. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably one place I can go. You can also go to Justin Smoke up in Toronto. I don't mind that at all. He just continues to produce. He's having a fantastic year. I also don't mind Yonder Alonso as well. I kind of keep going back to the same guys at first base, and they just keep producing for me. So why am I going to change it up?
Sure enough. I have a little bit of interest here in Josh Bell tonight as well from the Pittsburgh Pirates, 2,800 on FanDuel. He's actually not doing too bad today. You take a look at his last five games, no zeros. He slowed down a little bit there over the last 2 days, but before that, he's still homering, getting RBIs, getting on base. So I don't mind this guy at all. Going to be dealing with the porch in right field there against Alex Cobb. I can dig it. Cobb's been allowing a lot of base runners too, so he could have some RBIs opportunities here for Bell.
Yeah, he has been. So.
All right, that's all I got for first base. Moving on to second base. I got to go, unfortunately, against my boy tonight, but Aaron Nola is terrible against left-handed hitters. Robinson Cano is a left-handed hitter. That could be a deadly matchup.
It could be. You could also go with Daniel Murphy, who crushes right-handed pitching. You can go with Brandon Phillips, who crushes right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Scooter Jeanette is another good one. Franklin Burrito is another good one. Paul DeJong is another good one. Jonathan Scope. I mean, second base is actually really kind of loaded.
Yeah, I dig it.
Ian Happ, who's $2,500 going against Max Scherzer tonight.
Happ, one of the hotter hitters in the league right now.
Yep, 343 ISO, 408 WOBA over the last 30 days. Jason Kipnis. Second base is loaded tonight.
Your boy, Jonathan Scope, I know you're a big fan of him. 391 average over the last six games. Biagini got the reverse splits, not very good against right-handed hitters, so... I'm sorry. No, that's not the way. He's good against righties, but still, Scope hitting pretty well here. I don't mind that one. We've also got, who else here? You mentioned Scooter Jeanette, who I like. I dig that one. I'm probably gonna keep it. I like Cano there against Nola. I know my own pitcher's warts, so I like that one the most.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
So you're basically what you're telling me is that he's not going to repeat what he did last time.
I would not think so. If you looked at you look at what Nola did in that last matchup, I believe the Cardinals only had one lefty in their lineup, and Nola is very good against right-handed hitters. It's the lefties that he's turning into a homeless man's Chad Kuhl.
Okay.
But he's pretty damn good against the righties. All right, third base. I mean, again, too, you can go with Kyle Seager against Nola. I don't mind that one. Not going to be highly owned at all, but, good splits matchups there for him. Who do you like him? Let me guess. Does his name rhyme with Bolin Schmarishmato?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I figured. Bolin Schmarishmato.
Yeah, I mean.
I know him.
I don't ever not play him when he's playing the Giants. I don't care if it's an AT&T or Coors. It can be in freaking Yellowstone, and I would still play him. Devin Marrero for the Boston Red like Sox. That.
Very good against left-handed.
Yeah, $2,100. It's funny because I've talked a lot about it, and we talked more about it during basketball than we do during baseball. I challenge our users or our listeners today to go build a lineup on FanDuel with nobody over the price of $3,000 except for your pitcher.
Interesting.
See what you come up with. And I say that because there's a lot of good options. A lot of good options. We've talked about a lot of them. You go to Tyler Austin at first base, you go to, where is Tyler Austin?
First base.
I know. There they are. I couldn't find the Yankees. You go to, out to Oakland and Houston, you've got Franklin Burrito, you've got in third base, you've got Boston, you've got Devin Marrero, who's not a third baseman on FanDuel, which is really, really crappy. He's a shortstop. I'm sorry.
Now, in this experiment for our users, is it 3,000 or lower, or is it going to be 2.9 or lower?
You can go 3,000 or lower, but okay. I've got three positions filled right now that are 2,200 or 2,100. If awesome. You really want to go to it, Wilson Contreras is 2,200. Let's see, at 30 back, I mean, Chris Bryant's only 2,900.
I feel like you're probably gonna get Miguel Montero tonight. I meant to say that. You're probably gonna get him against Scherzer tonight.
Yeah, I understand that, but even the same.
Well, you don't
want
to put a guy that's not in the lineup.
I'm just saying right now, just so you get an idea of who value plays are at each position, so you can go to them.
Sure, sure. All right.
Matt Davidson, you just threw me for a loop.
My goal.
Johan Camargo for Atlanta. Derek Dietrich, if he's in the lineup. Jeffrey Marte. Chesler Cuthbert. I mean, Ryder Jones going, $2,000. There's a lot of options that are available. And I challenge you to go do it. Kyle Seager's only $2,800 going up against a righty. FanDuel has not done a good job about jacking these prices up.
I meant to end this team. God damn it. I'll break it down positionally. But since we're at third base, he's pretty cheap too. But Jed Jerko, $3,100. He's been on a tear lately. And we know he's on a tear. Why, Keith?
Because he helped me win a qualifier.
That, okay. But he homered off a left-handed pitcher yesterday.
Yeah, and that cost
me. So you know he's in the zone. That's not what Jed Jerko does.
Yeah, he cost me hundreds yesterday.
Well, you got your qualifier, so stop complaining. All right, great.
Thanks.
Also at third base today, don't mind Miguel Sano. Going up against Pomeranz, that's a damn good matchup right there. And also, Justin Turner going up against the Angels today. Now, I wanted to talk about this a little bit. But the Angels, Jesse Chavez, actually has the reverse splits where he sucks against right-handed hitters. I'm probably not going to see too many right-handed hitters from the Dodgers. You're definitely going to see Turner, but we'll get to an outfielder in a little bit too from the Dodgers. But yeah, Justin Turner, he disappointed me greatly yesterday. That damn Wyndham Rewards wizard looking son of a bitch. But I have faith in him today.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, that's your fault. All right. That's not mine.
I don't like playing Justin Turner. He doesn't do a lot for me. And it's just kind of one of those things.
Okay, great. Good story. All right, shortstops. We got some options here. Elvis Andrews, very impressed with this guy of late, not just because he hit two homers yesterday, but he's only got one strikeout in his last 33 plate appearances.
I did not.
Yeah. The ball's got to go and play to get some points, unless you want to walk, of course, and steal some bases. But, yeah. These are things that I look at, folks. One strikeout, last 33 plate appearances.
That's not bad.
Not bad. The guy can go up there with a magic wand at this point and put the ball in play.
I mean, it's not like, Mookie Betts at the beginning of the season or anything, but.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Got to start somewhere, Keith.
No! You start at 100 and you work your way backwards.
Okay.
You do.
I don't mind. Also here, you got Ronald Torres, 10 for 19 against left-handed pitching this season. Minimum price on FanDuel for the Yankees. He most certainly will be in the lineup tonight. Castro pulled something in his body. That whole Yankees lineup is falling apart. So you see him. Didi Gregorius is even good again. I think he's hitting like 364 or something like that against left-handed pitching. Not a bad idea there. And I also like Eduardo Escobar. He's been hot lately. Another guy that's hitting upwards of 360 against left-handed pitching this season. So I like all those guys at shortstop. Who you liking?
You can go to Troy Tulowitzki. Devin Marrero, now that I've got his positional eligibility
fixed. Okay.
He's a third baseman on DK, but a shortstop on FanDuel.
Welcome.
Corey Seager is a pretty good option.
He had a hamstring issue.
Yeah, that's if he's in the lineup.
The weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. That's if he's in the lineup. But Tulo, he's not hit for power, but he's getting on base. 355 wOBA over the last 30 games. Chris Owings, he's up above. He's 3,200, but he's still mashing the ball. 357, 237 ISO. The problem is that he keeps making errors out in the field, so he needs to be mashing the ball in order to stay in the lineup.
I think they'll be, with all the injuries they got, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, Elvis Andrews, you go back to the well on him. He's 3,200. He's not relatively expensive, but he's, I mean, he had a game for the ages last night.
Yeah. It's not like this came out of nowhere with Andrews. Remember, like I was saying, he's one of the hotter hitters in baseball right now. And I believe it was the beginning of the month where Andrews was just on a rampant tear. I forget who when Correa was on his big tear. Nobody really paid attention to Elvis Andrews while that was going on because Correa was just posting numbers at the same position in the same damn state. But Andrews is putting himself together a nice season here. And especially you look over his – look at his game log the last five games. It's Purdy.
Yeah, it is.
Steals it bases
really,
too, which
really, really is.
Gotta love it. Yeah, and yeah, that was the end of May and into the beginning of June when Andrews was going on his amazing tear. You got that, and that's all I got there for shortstops.
Okay.
Good. All right, sounds good. All right, outfielders, let's close this off with a bang. It's back, folks. Death taxes J.D. Martinez against a left-handed pitcher. Just if you were wondering what his numbers were, I've got them right here for you. He is – come on, don't fail me now. Where are you? They're ridiculous. Hold on one sec. I'm going by my game-by-game breakdown here. But, J.D. Martinez against lefties, 14 for 27 with three doubles, four home runs, six walks. Folks, that's a .606 on base percentage against left-handed pitching. That's a 1.074 slugging against left-handed pitching. So, yeah, no big deal with those numbers. They're there.
Which combines to a DFSA grade of 221.29.
Again, no big deal. No big deal whatsoever.
Closely followed by Mr. Matt Olson. 2,400 on FanDuel going against Mike Fiers. 140.50, 700 ISO, 637 wOBA. Those are better numbers than George Springer, who has a minuscule 622 wOBA with 542 ISO.
Sure.
Over the last 30 days.
I was going to say small sample size. But yeah, Olson, very unorthodox swing, but he gets the job done.
Yeah. Mookie Betts, Matt Joyce. I mean, Lonnie Chisenhall's on fire still. I mean, there's a plethora of outfields. Romeo Tapia versus Matt Cain is a good option. If he gets on base, he can steal bases. He's one of the faster guys in MLB. He's just probably going to be hitting in that 5-6 hole. I would prefer him to be in the 5 hole again because then he's going to be behind guys like Ian Desmond, Trevor Story, so he can get on base, steal the base, and then get driven in by him. Kind of manufacture a run, kind of like a second leadoff. I'm probably going to fade Bryce Harper tonight, though.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what I'm going to do? With going with your boy Jeffy on the mound, my outfield is going to be J.D. Martinez, Giancarlo Stanton, Marcell Ozuna, and then I'm going to have $3,160 left for each position.
There you go.
Yeah, how you like them apples?
Sure.
Are you kidding me? like that's ridiculous. I mean, it'll find some way to screw up.
I just built a lineup with Max Scherzer, and I have $3,400 left after filling all the other positions.
Okay.
There's some crazy value out there tonight, guys.
So you can probably do that. Oh my God, that's going to be more than doable.
So
yeah,
there's some crazy, crazy value out there, and I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's not, they're all good they're all guys that are popping over 200 ISOs in the last 30 days. So.
Indeed. Yeah, don't forget to Giancarlo Stanton, Marcell Ozuna. I know I mentioned there for a little bit, but tremendous numbers there against Gazelman. And that'll do it for us today. Great to have you in with us once again. If you want to be a member of the DFS Army and you are not yet, but you got cold feet, you can try us out for 7 free days. Use that promo code WIN, W-I-N, and get yourself all the free days you can handle for 7 days, of course. And then you can check out our Domination Station, all the VIP tools there for baseball. And it's truly an amazing thing that we got going on here. And how many games we got going here tomorrow, Keith?
We got 15 total.
I hate to say, not including the – I hate to say we're going to have a pod.
We've got 2 in the morning and 13 in the afternoon – or the evening.
Okay, yeah. So we're doing a pod here tomorrow. That's going down. So – yeah, we will be back for you tomorrow, folks. And if you don't like it, then forget you, my friend.
Yes.
We got to start doing some stuff with football soon because it's coming around the bat. Now, we're not going to be doing this here before
you
July
can do
4th.
Football with everybody else. I have a live final to prep for. So,
all right, fair enough. I'll find people. We, you know, no shortage of that here in the Army. But yes, we're looking forward to getting into that part of the season because it is coming up soon, folks. So, once again, tune in to us tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you tomorrow. We go.
Peace out.